In the military, the term got your six means I've got your back. It's a promise of trust, support, and camaraderie. The Got Your Six Real Estate Podcast embodies this spirit, offering unwavering guidance for military personnel, their families, and real estate professionals. Join your host, Kevin Onosik, who shares market trends, expert insights, and stories. Now let's get started with Got Your Six.
Well, welcome to the Got Your Six Real Estate Podcast. Today we have a very hot topic, credit scores, credit improvement, and we have a very special guest, Jesse from My Credit Guy. Jesse, maybe introduce yourself just briefly. Tell me a little bit about you and My Credit Guy, and we'll dig in deeper to exactly what you all do as we converse more. So take it away, Jesse.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin, for having me. As Kevin mentioned, my name is Jesse Breck, and I work for the credit repair company, My Credit Guy. We specialize in credit improvement and optimization, specifically in the mortgage and real estate industry. So our focus really is helping people improve their credit situation to prep for homeownership. So there's a lot of people that end up making their way towards us that might not have that goal, but that's really our primary focus, is working with loan officers and real estate agents to help their clients. And we'll talk a little bit more about specific reasons that that is different in the mortgage space. There's different scoring models, and that's a lot to unpack. I think that's some of what we'll talk about today. But myself, I live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm a Midwesterner, born and raised in this area. I've worked for My Credit Guy for coming up, I think, right about 4 years now. I've been close friends with the CEO, Sam Parker, since the first day we met at college. So that's the history of who I am and how I ended up here. My Credit Guy, the business, has been open for 9 years now, again, specifically working in this mortgage and real estate space. And we understand credit very well. And we have a strong desire to help people realize homeownership. We feel like it's the cornerstone of the American dream. And it's one thing we're very, very passionate about.
Yeah. Sam is the credit guy. And I've been working with your company for years. I mean, you've been around 9 years. It could have been that long. When we do have folks that have challenges and need some extra help, you all are my go-to. There are many other options out there for folks, but in my experience, you all are the only ones who I've seen be successful in working with someone, following up with them, keeping them informed, and truly sticking to the plan of getting them ready for a home purchase. In our case, although I'm sure you work with credit in general for many different reasons.
Yeah, you know, we came for ourselves in this industry to kind of break the status quo of what credit repair is, right? Unfortunately, that term comes with a negative connotation, not only in this industry, but in general, right? And it's something that, if I'm being honest with you, is earned. A lot of people that came before us, or even competitors that we have that tout the name credit repair, they don't really encompass all of what we do completely within our organization. And there's a big difference. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that have been led to believe that there's a solution and an opportunity for kind of light at the end of the tunnel, when it was just a little misleading. That's happened a lot in our industry.
Yeah. Well, today I'm thinking we need to be informative. There's a lot of meat and potatoes here. So let's start with the big question of, what is a credit score? That's what really people are focused on. There is your overall credit rating, what's on your credit report, but what's a credit score? Not even what impacts it, but just kind of, what is it?
Well, essentially, a credit score is a three-digit number that's a grade for where you land from a risk assessment standpoint for a bank when it comes time to buy something that they're going to lend you money on. It's as simple as that. Three-digit score that ranges anywhere from 350 to 850 points. And 350 is the low end, 850 is the high.
Now, that comes from different credit reporting agencies, doesn't it? Do they all have the same credit score?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, let's do mortgage specifically. You know, when you pull a report for a mortgage, there's actually three credit scores that are produced. That is information that comes from one of the three bureaus, which is Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. So there's a model, a scoring model, that's overlaid to the information that Experian has captured and keeps and reports on. There's a different one for TransUnion and a different one for Equifax. And those models are specifically the FICO 2, 4, and 5. So essentially, it's a grading system that's overlaid. That detail is overlaid towards the reporting that's been made to those credit bureaus and assessed in a sense of a specific score based on that behavior.
Now, different types of credit scores. So there's different credit scores for Equifax versus TransUnion versus Experian, plus just depending on what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So for an example, you know, the mortgage, there's three different models that are built by the FICO company that overlay towards the information, right? So Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax have their own essentially model for what a mortgage credit score will be. So there's different ones within what you're applying for. So if you apply for a home, you have three different credit scores because there's three different models overlaid on three different credit bureaus of information. It starts to compound really, really quick. But the other thing to take into consideration is that's just for a mortgage. There's scores for when you go to apply for a credit card or an office or specific types of loans that are outside of those categories, that produce a different score. So the question a lot of times is, what is your credit score? It's one of the hardest to answer because it's just depends on what it is you're applying for.
Yeah, we get that all the time. If we talk to someone, go over credit scores that we're seeing, they dispute it with us quite often, saying, no, I just checked my Credit Karma and my credit score is whatever it is, usually, you know, 10% higher than what we are seeing.
Yeah, that's where we start to overlay a lot of additional detail that creates confusion, because the credit scoring model that's being used in the Credit Karma application is actually not a FICO scoring model at all. It's a Vantage scoring model that's built by a different company called Vantage Scoring Solutions. So if it already wasn't confusing enough, not only do we have FICO, but we also have Vantage. And the Vantage scoring model that you're seeing in Credit Karma is called the Vantage 3.0. And even more specifically, if you're looking at a Credit Karma score, that's a Vantage 3.0 scoring model that's overlaid on top of the information that you have that's reported to TransUnion. Just that one bureau, right? So there's a lot of different layers that are there. And we often get that as well, Kevin. Like somebody will say, well, my loan officer must not know what they're talking about. They thought my credit score was a 570 and I'm looking at a 640. It's like, no, that's not the case. They're different grading systems.
So I'm the average consumer. How do I find out what my credit score is? Where do I get my credit report? How do I check my score?
Well, it really depends. Again, if you're looking to get exactly what your mortgage loan officer is going to pull, you need to get access to the FICO 2, 4, and 5 models. And for what I know, there's a few options, but the one that we know that I've used the most is called MyFICO. It's directly to the FICO Fair Isaac Credit Organization, right? And I would say that program is the only one that I know of and can speak confidently of that you're going to see the mortgage scores reported within that application.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I refer folks as well. Now, here's a great question that I've heard different answers to. Somebody says to me, hey, I've heard checking your credit score can make it go down. Is that true? And is it true for me personally if I check my credit score? But what if I go out car shopping this weekend? And let's say I visit 5 dealerships and they each run my credit 3 times. Is that going to impact my credit score once or 15 times?
Yeah, impact and hurt are definitely two very specific keys that I want to focus on here, because as a consumer, as an individual, when you check your own credit, there is no negative impact to your credit. You could refresh your credit report on a consumer app every single day, and it's not going to drop your credit score at all. But when you go to apply for a loan, whether it be a house or for a car, if they run your credit, that's what's called a hard inquiry. And that's going to show that you're working to apply for financing. And I wouldn't go as far as to say that it hurts your credit, but it does impact your credit. So we usually see that a true hard inquiry is going to affect your credit score by anywhere from 1 to 4 points, 3 to 5 points. It's very minimal, and it needs to take place in order for you to understand what you're going to qualify for as it relates to financing. Now, one specific thing that I will say is that there's a grace period or a window where there's some leniency, right? So like, let's say you go to one car dealership and they run your credit three times through three different lenders. And then the next day you go to a different car dealership and they run your credit through three different lenders. It doesn't count as six hard inquiries. It's not going to hit your credit six times. It's just going to count towards one. And you have a window of 45 days. Specifically for a mortgage, 45 days. For auto, I think it might be anywhere from 30 to 45. But you get some time to shop, essentially, to where it's only going to negatively impact very little your credit one time.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation about that and a lot of different answers just depending upon who you ask.
Absolutely.
Well, really kind of up your alley in helping folks with credit. From what you all see, what are some of the most common inaccuracies on credit reports? Like, what are some of the things that you see that are just not right?
Reporting on details of dates, right? So, like, sometimes we get duplicate reporting. If you've been through an unfortunate situation, and whether it be a bankruptcy or you've defaulted on some accounts, a lot of times you'll see that the original creditor is reporting that. And then you also have a collection company that's reporting that same account in a different fashion. That's not accurate, right? Like, it has to be one that's pursuing the debt. So we do a cleanup on that a lot. We see a lot of mistakes with name variations when there's a common name, right? So we're just talking about data that's being accumulated, right, and maintained. And it's human error that happens a lot, right, in reporting. So those, I would say, are the most common things as it relates to inaccuracies.
You mentioned a collection. I often see things called collections, but also things called charge-off. Is there a big difference as far as your credit rating and credit score, whether something's called a collection or a charge-off? Like, what's the difference there?
Yeah, so there's quite a bit of difference. A charge-off is actually something that's held by the original creditor, right? So let's say you had a credit card with Capital One and $1,700 got charged off on that credit card. That's going to be a charge-off. Usually that account's going to stay with Capital One. You're going to continue to report on it, and the only way that you can address it is usually through a settlement or paying in full to show that it's paid. Almost never are you going to get that deleted. That's very uncommon. A collection is when that same event takes place, the original creditor sells that debt off or leases it off to a company that goes to collect on it. So they're essentially buying paper. A debt collection company is buying paper to get access to generate a profit, right? And so in those situations, they usually tend to be a little more lenient on the type of negotiation that we can do to get it removed. But they're going to affect your credit very similar because they're a negative 9 rated event. And this is getting very technical, but like there's an MOP rating system, which is manner of payment, and it kind of codes the severity of each one of your situations. The lower, the better, right? Like 1 is open, active, one time, everything's fine. 9 is collection or charge-off. And whether it's a charge-off or a collection, it's rated in that most aggressive negative category of 9. And in that situation, they both negatively affect you. More of what's going to determine how much it affects you is not necessarily the type, but let me take that back. The type could be, it's a charge-off and it's revolving, right? Like a credit card, it can be hitting your balance to limit ratio on your credit utilization, which is a factor in your credit scoring. So that's important to know. But then the other thing is really just based on date, like how old it is.
Well, let's say I've got some old collections, charge-offs. You know, I'm coming to you looking for some credit help and advice, some coaching. What are you going to tell me to do with those? Should I go ahead and pay off my collections? Will that help my credit? How does that impact it?
Yeah, for us, even if you're with us, we're never just going to say, go pay these collections, right? Like, what I can tell you is the most common mistake that I see people make when they're trying to fix their own credit is that they do just that, right? Something went wrong, I need to fix it, and everything's going to be okay. Unfortunately, that's just not the case. A lot of times when you pay a collection off, you can update the date of last activity on that, and it actually can negatively affect your credit more than it did before when it was untouched, right? So with us, we take a consultative approach on every single trade line to understand how we can resolve that situation that's going to be most in your benefit as it relates to positive impact, right? Like, how can we spend the least amount of money to make the most amount of impact in the improvement section to boost your credit score up?
It sounds like we're like kind of getting into some nuts and bolts of the credit score. And we talked about it, say like your credit rating, your ABC, whatever. But what makes up the credit score? So, you know, is it on-time payment? You talked about credit utilization. Like, really, what do the credit bureaus look at to even create that score and to decide if mine is good or bad?
Yeah, great question. It's called the credit scoring algorithm, and there's different five sections of the algorithm that are all weighted differently. The number one, as you would expect, is your payment history. How long have you had the account? How consistent have you been paying it on time every single month? That represents 35%. The next category is called credit utilization. That's the balance to limit ratio that you see, the percentage of what you're maintaining on your revolving trade lines, which are better known as credit cards. So they're revolving, like they fluctuate every month, right? So with us, that's 30%. Your balance to limit ratios and your credit utilization represent 30% of your score. So the two largest factors are 65% of the score that can primarily be maintained with just having good, open, active credit cards. Now, when we talk about credit utilization, we talk about good, better, and best. Good is to keep your balances less than 50% of the limit. Better is to keep your balances less than 30% of the limit. And the best, where FICO considers their highest achievers, is in the 5 to 10% range.
Is 5 to 10?
What that means is
zero?
5 to 10%. Yeah, it seems super low, but that means that if you have a $1,000 credit card, your ideal optimization is maybe anywhere from $50 to $100 on your balance versus the $1,000 limit that you have. And most Americans are carrying more than 50% of their limits on their credit cards, especially over these last couple of years.
Yeah, I've seen on the news that balances on credit cards have increased greatly in the last even 6 to 12 months.
Historic highs, for sure.
Yeah, so I guess that's impacting people's credit scores across the board.
Yeah, and a lot of people get confused because they say, wait, I've never been late on this. I've stayed below my limit that they've given me. And that's true. You're a great customer. You're doing a good job. I'm not saying that you're not. But if you're wanting to look at how you're optimizing your credit to be in your benefit, those are the factors that are important. Less than 50% good, less than 30% better, and less than 10% even the best.
So you talk about that credit utilization. What if I have some old credit cards and they're just kind of hanging out there? Should I close them? Should I leave them open? What's best for my credit scores?
For me, I like to keep everything open because that longevity of that trade line history is very important in this credit scoring model, right? So that number one factor of payment history is going to go based on the number of months that have been reviewed for those trade lines. If you have a card that you don't use often and it's not costing you a lot to maintain throughout the year, it's usually smart just to keep it open. And then every once in a while, use it. Every 3 months or so, swipe it, use it for a small purchase, make sure it gets paid the next month. Show activity on it so it doesn't become dormant.
All right, Jesse, I'm not happy with my credit score. I want to improve it. What do I do? What help, advice, suggestions do you give? And even more importantly, when do I know I need to reach out to a pro for help?
So my thing is, I'm a little extreme on this. For me, your credit situation is only going to make an impact on your life positively or negatively when it's time to make a large purchase, right? When it all comes down to it, that's it. So my suggestion is that you always reach out to a professional based on what it is that you're trying to accomplish, not just in general that you want to fix your credit situation, but if you're like, hey, I want to make sure my credit's in a good position so I can purchase a home, first call that you make is to you, Kevin, right? And say, what are the thresholds that are super important for me? Right? Because Kevin, you know that there's a difference between good, better, and best credit as well, right?
Right.
You know that a lot of times people think that they need perfect credit to buy a house, but it's not true. So working with somebody that's a professional at the local level to understand some of those specifics and to help you identify what a game plan would be or a goal, partnered with the relationship that we have, right? If he sees fit for us to talk about your credit situation, that's where it makes sense. And then my team comes into play to assess specifically what your credit scenario is based on the goals that Kevin has for you.
Yeah, yeah. And it can be not even make or break or whether or not you qualify, but it could be what it costs you. And investing in a little bit of credit repair and improvement could save you significantly on a home purchase in your interest rates, costs, and over time, those costs can add up very significantly.
You're absolutely correct.
So what if I'm not applying for a loan? Does my credit even matter? Does it matter what my credit score is?
Well, what's interesting is that, yes, it does, right? Like, it seems like credit is impacting everything from insurance rates, right, to your mortgage loan financing, to potential job hire, right? I mean, there's a lot of different variables of where your credit is going to come into play. So if you're just wanting to ensure that you're in a good position, that's also totally fine for you to reach out to the team at My Credit Guy to start with a free credit review. We do everybody, right? Like, we want to make an initial assessment of what your situation is, what are some of your goals, what are your challenges, what are your questions, so that we can analyze how we can help you specifically. Even though our niche is definitely like helping people for home ownership, as you mentioned earlier, there are times that people come and they say, listen, I just want to clean up my credit to ensure that I'm ready for when that day comes, right? And so for me, it's never too early. A lot of times it becomes too late too fast, right? So if you have questions about credit, I think the time to reach out is now.
Oh, I completely agree. Well, what if I don't have credit? What if I'm new to this, a young person, et cetera? How do I even get this started?
Yeah, that is one of the most common questions that I run into as well. It's not that I have bad credit, I just don't have any, right? So our standard like talk track as it relates to like establishing credit would be that you open a couple secured credit cards. And a secured credit card is when you put a deposit down, open a trade line, it's a revolving trade line, right? So you put $200 down, they take $29 out of that deposit as your annual fee, and then you use the credit card as if it's a true credit card, but you're essentially just borrowing against yourself and the money that you've put down. Once you establish consistency in how you use it, how you pay it, a lot of those secured credit cards will morph and transition and transfer to a traditional unsecured credit line where they actually extend you a line of credit.
And don't you all offer, I think there was something on your website about a credit builder credit card that reports very quickly. Isn't that something you all can assist with as well?
Yeah, that's the one that it's not ours, but it's the one that we recommend consistently. It's from that example that I just talked about. It's a $200 deposit, $29 annual fee. With just two credit cards and a few months of history, you can produce a credit score.
Okay. One thing I've been running into a lot, unfortunately, is folks going through divorce. It's a big traumatic event in life. How does divorce affect someone's credit score, and you know, what can they do to prepare for that or recover?
Yeah, so for me, when I talk about divorce, it's all in preparation, right? Like, you need to find out who's going to take over what, who's going to be responsible for things. Like, even like on a home loan, right? Like, even if in the divorce decree it says that husband takes the house or wife takes the house, unless you get that property refinanced out of the combination of the two people on that loan, that payment history on that mortgage will continue to report to the second party, even though the divorce decree says that they're no longer responsible for the house. Right. So it's about separating things and ensuring that your name is only on the things that are truly your responsibility, because a divorce decree does not supersede a pre-existing contract. Right. So if you are an authorized user on account, that's a different situation. But if you have a joint credit card account, I would almost certainly in those situations work to make sure that we understand who's going to keep the account, who's going to get removed, and if that takes place before spending happens on that. I see very messy things happen after a divorce as it relates to credit.
Yep, it happens. It unfortunately happened to me, and it certainly impacted my credit. And you kind of have to work your way through it and just do the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like anything else. The more that you stay on top of it, stay diligent, monitor your credit is super, super important.
Now, I've seen more so in years past, but still occasionally, I still hear ads for them on the radio. Companies that say, if you've got too much in credit card debt, if you're getting behind, call us. You make a payment to us and we'll take care of your creditors. Is that a good idea? How does that impact your credit? And like, just as far as credit goes, how's that compare to maybe a bankruptcy?
Well, this is not the easiest question to answer. What I can tell you, though, is I almost 99.9% of the time, I speak very specifically about how I do not support debt relief. And that's what you're talking about. Debt consolidation and debt relief are two totally different things. Debt relief is when a company will tell you, stop paying your bills. We'll take over on the negotiations with those creditors. You start paying us a monthly fee, and we'll allocate that money to make sure that these things get paid off. Your credit gets trashed. You're paying like a spiff, essentially. A percentage of what you're paying to the creditors goes to the company that's managing that for you. And in the long run, you trash your credit and most likely don't really even save that much money. They're just making it easy for you to make one payment instead of multiple. So my suggestion, if you're in that overwhelming scenario, if you're in that overwhelming scenario, is to reach out to somebody that would be a local bank or credit union to talk about debt consolidation first before it gets out of control. There also are situations where, and again, this is just my personal opinion, this is not financial advice, but there are situations where I've seen that, like going through a bankruptcy by actually like working through an attorney created less of an impact negatively than going through debt relief sometimes.
Yeah, I see the same thing. Folks that have tried that debt relief, it destroys their credit. And Absolutely. Often they end up talking to a bankruptcy attorney anyway. Yeah. In our world, you can recover from a bankruptcy reasonably fast. Some of the mortgage programs, depending upon the circumstances, you can get a mortgage 2 years after the discharge of your bankruptcy. And from what I've seen, once you go bankrupt, you can get credit started again, reestablished fairly quickly.
I agree. Yeah, it definitely seems like, depending on the chapter, 7 or 13 that you get, that there's a lot more of opportunity to climb out of that than in some situations I've seen with debt relief, for sure.
Now, we talked about credit cards and such. Is it possible to have too many credit cards? And we talked about not enough, but what if I have 5? Is it 10? Is it like, how many is like, whoa, okay, you've gone too far?
It's all about manage them personally, right? Like, that's the question. It's not that you have too many. It's really, what is it overwhelming for you to truly manage the specifics related to the monthly payments, the keeping up on ensuring that nothing goes late? That's really the answer to the question. Like, for example, I have 10 plus credit cards, and that's because one day I tried to open 10 to see what would, right? Like, sometimes I hijack my credit just to get the truth of what takes place. I made it to 7. Once the 7th one approved me, they said, wait, this guy's applied for 7 credit cards already today. We're going to stop this, right? But, for me, I have fantastic credit. It's part of my responsibility with the job that I have and the responsibility that I have with consulting people in this situation. But even if I had only 3 credit cards, I could maintain the same level of positive credit that I have right now. And so it's not that if you have too many, it's not that too many is going to create a dilemma for your score. It's how you maintain them.
Okay. So is it good or bad to open new credit cards, transfer balances for like the lower rate, intra rate for a year, just as far as credit goes, is it good or neutral?
There's never a blanket statement that you can make in this. Every situation is different, right? So I've been in a situation where I had an introductory 18 months no interest, and I transferred a few $1,000 over to them. So that did not get any interest, right? And I kept the other credit cards open and everything was fine. Where you get into trouble is when you're maxing out multiple credit cards and you're just trying to roll things over and you're not really benefiting from those offers, right? So in that situation, you could say that wasn't necessarily bad for me to roll that money into a different account because I kept those 2 original credit cards open, transferred $4,000, but I did open a new account, which, part of the credit scoring algorithm is new credit, right? So that's 10% of your the weight of your, so it's going to dilute the age of your accounts. But if you have good established credit, small things like that don't make a huge impact. It's not something that I would do when I'm trying to build my credit, but once you're established, there's some leniency there.
Okay. We've covered a lot, and a lot of those are some of the most burning questions that I hear from possible home buyers, even realtors working with their clients. What else should people know? Is there anything you can think of that we didn't cover? And as far as My Credit Guy goes, maybe circle back with when to call My Credit Guy, when to bring in the pros. You know, why would I call Jesse, and when's the time to pick up that phone?
I'll answer the first, that second question first, right? Like, the time to call us, because we give a free review anytime you have questions with credit. I mean, it might not be the best time for you to sign up for our services, but we'll uncover that with that initial review, right? Like that, I think that if you have questions on credit, you've got to get right to the source of the people that understand what they do. So if you're not calling Kevin, you need to call us, right? And then we will assess at that point if it makes sense for you to go further on a different type of program based on your situation. But that's our opportunity to discover how can we really help you and what questions do you have. Now, as far as like what else, there's two things that I've been saying so consistently lately about like just in general things not to do. Okay. Number one, timeshares are a no-no, right? Like, timeshares report as mortgages on your credit score. And once you realize that it's not something that you want to do any longer, it could keep you from refinancing your home, purchasing another one, pulling equity out of your, just because that one timeshare that didn't go the way that you wanted it to. They are ugly and nasty to handle on credit. So I say no timeshares. The other thing for me is I do not believe in signing, co-signing anything, specifically a car for a kid, right? I think that there's other ways for you to establish credit for your youngsters to allow for them when they're in a situation where they need to buy a reliable vehicle, that they will be standing on their own 2 feet and be able to do that. I just, with as many credit reports as I just see so often where they're like, oh, this was my son's or my daughter's and things went sideways, the car got repossessed, and it just trashes credit. So never cosign and no timeshares. That's what I would leave you with.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I've seen many times where folks have credit issues and they don't even know it because they've co-signed, there's a poor payment history, and no one's told them. The car creditor never reached out, never even sent a letter. And, you know, like, hey, your car payment is 3 months past due and your credit score has just dropped 100 points.
See it all the time.
Yeah, that's very good advice. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you joining me today, Jesse. I think this is a lot of really good information and stuff that is hot topics all of the time. Whenever I say I'm a mortgage person, people either want to talk about mortgage interest rates, especially now that it's been a bit of a wild ride, and credit reporting, credit score. They always have questions. A lot I can answer just on my experience. But then the ones I can't, I refer to the pros like My Credit Guy.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks for having me on, man.
For folks who want to reach out, what's your website? What's your company phone number? How do folks find you?
Yeah, check us out on YouTube, Facebook. Just search My Credit Guy specifically. Our website is www.mycreditguy.com. That's mycreditguy.com. My name's Jesse, and you can reach me at jesse@mycreditguy.com through email. Or my phone number is 319-551-8263. Always available to talk about credit.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. And much obliged for your time.
Take care, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Got Your Six Real Estate Podcast with Kevin Lemazin. We hope you found value in today's episode. If we've got your six, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who could benefit. For more resources and episodes, visit our website at gotyoursixrealestatepodcast.com. Until next time, we've got your six.